Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fair fa' your honest sonsy face, great chieftain o' the puddin' race. Aboon them ye tack your place, pinch, tripe or therm. We'll are ye worthy o' a grace as lang's my airm. The groaning trencher there ye fill, your hurdies like a distant hill. Your peen wad help me to mend a mill in time o' need, while through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. His knife see rustic labour dicht and cut you up with ready slicht, trenching your gushing entrails bricht like ony ditch, and then, oh, what a glorious sicht, warm, reeking, rich. Then horn for horn they stretch and strive, they'll take the hindmost on the drive, till a' their wheel-swallowed kites belive are bent like drums. The old gidman mayst like to arrive, bethink it hums. Is that hour his French ragout or olio that wad staw a sou, or fricassee wad macker spew with perfect scunner, look down with sneering scornfy view on sick a dinner? Poor devil, see him hour as trash, as feckless as a withered rash, his spindle shank a gid whiplash, his knee a knit, throw bloody flood or field to dash, oh how unfit. But mark the rustic haggis fed, the trembling earth resounds his tread, clap in his wally knee a bled, he'll mak it whistle, and legs and arms and heads will sned like taps o' thristle. Ye powers wha make mankind your care and dish them out their bill of fare, old Scotland wants nae skinking ware that japs in luggies, but if ye wish her grateful prayer, gie her a haggis. Hello and welcome to episode number 26 of the Scottish History Podcast. My name is Owen Innes and this week we're talking about Rabby Burns. So Robert or Rabby Burns was born on the 25th of January in 1759 in a place called Alloway, which is just a few miles outside of Ayr in the west of Scotland. He was born to William Burns and his mother Agnes Brun or Agnes Brown. His parents were tenant farmers, however, they ensured that Rabby was well educated and Rabby began to read at a very early age. He enjoyed the works of Alexander Pope, Henry Mackenzie and Laurence Sterne in particular. Due to his family's farm life, Rabby was educated mostly by his father, but he did attend Dalrymple Parish School in mid-1772 until he returned to full-time farm work during the harvest of that year. In 1773, he was sent to study with a man called John Murdoch for 3 weeks, who taught him English grammar, Latin and French. At aged 15 in 1774, Rabbi was now the head labourer on his family's Mount Oliphant farm. It is during that time that he met a girl called Nellie, which was short for Helen, who had come to work on the farm. Rabbi wrote his first poem about Nellie called "Oh, Once I Loved a Bonnie Lass," or more commonly, "Handsome Nellie." In 1775, he was sent away again to complete his education when he met Peggy Thompson, to which he wrote two songs. Due to issues William Burns had with his landlord at the Mount Oliphant farm, the Burns family moved to a farm at Loch Lee in South Ayrshire near the village of Tarbolton. It was the community of Tarbolton that the Burns family integrated into, with Rabbi joining a country dancing school in 1779, much to the disdain of his father. And Rabbi and his brother Gilbert formed the Tarbolton Bachelors Club in 1780, which was a debate club for men only, and a lot of their debates were about love or women. At age 22, Burns moved to Irvine to work as a flax dresser, but returned to the Loch Lee farm after the flax shop was burned to the ground during the workers' New Year party, of which Burns was a part of. When he returned from Irvine, he met a man called Captain Richard Brown, and it was this man who encouraged Rabbi most to become a poet. Rabbi's father, William Burns, passed away in January of 1784, and along with Gilbert, Rabbi tried to keep the Loch Lee farm going. However, they both ended up moving to Mauchline instead, to another farm at a place called Moss Giel. Whilst pursuing a relationship with a woman named Jean Armour, Rabbi had a daughter called Elizabeth with his mother's servant Elizabeth Peyton. During that time, Jean fell pregnant herself in 1787 and gave birth to twins in March the following year. Jean Armour's father did not like Rabbi and had initially forbade the couple to be married and even sent Jean away to live with her uncle in Paisley, but the marriage went ahead in 1788. In total, Jean and Rabbi had 9 children together, however only 3 had survived through their infancy. Due to a lack of success in the farming occupation, Burns found himself in debt, which led him to being offered a job as a bookkeeper on a sugar plantation in Jamaica. A bookkeeper in this instance was someone who kept a record of the slaves on the plantation. Now, Burns' views on equality were addressed in his poem The Slave's Lament, where it was confirmed that he held egalitarian views. Before he married Jean Armour, Burns was actually married to a woman called Mary Campbell, who he had met at church when he lived near Tarbolton. They married on the 14th of May in 1786, however she contracted typhus from her brother and died in October of that year in the town of Greenock. Burns' first book, Poems Chiefly in the Scots Dialect, was published on the 31st of July in 1786. The book was actually meant to raise money for Burns to move to Jamaica. However, he found instant success with the book that arguably contains some of his best work, with Twa Dogs and To a Mouse being particular favourites of mine. Due to the success of the book, which was also known as the Kilmarnock volume, Burns was invited to Edinburgh to publish a second and longer adaptation of the first book. For the cover of the what is now known as the Edinburgh volume, the publisher William Creech commissioned a portrait to be painted of Burns. This was the now infamous painting of the man and was used as the cover on the book. During this time, Burns met a 16-year-old Walter Scott, who would go on to have his own influence in Scottish culture, of which we will cover at some point during the course of this podcast. Whilst in Edinburgh, Burns had a number of affairs, one of which with a Jenny Clough, or Clo, a servant of another of Burns' mistress, and Jenny bore Burns a son in 1788. Another one of Burns' affairs was with a woman called Nancy McElhose, or pseudonym Clarinda. The pseudonym appears in a number of Burns' works. So that particular affair with Nancy McElhose bore the poem A Fond Kiss. Burns sent Nancy the manuscript of said poem just before she herself left to go to Jamaica. Now, once he left Edinburgh in 1788, he rekindled his relationship with Jean Armour and then getting married, and they took a lease on a farm in Dumfriesshire. However, come 1791, Burns gave up on farming altogether. In November the year before, 1790, he had completed what was considered to be his masterpiece, Tam O'Shanter. After giving up on the farm, Burns and Armour moved to the town of Dumfries. Burns now turned to songwriting and became a lyricist. During that time, he wrote hundreds of songs for countless published books. Burns would also spend time collecting and preserving traditional Scottish folk songs, and on some occasions he would even revise, expand on, or adapt the songs to fit with certain tunes. His world-famous "A Man's a Man and A' That" was one particular example, but of course his adaptation of "Auld Lang Syne," sung traditionally on Hogmanay or New Year to non-Scots, was also set to the tune of an old Scottish folk song. "Auld Lang Syne," I must also add in here, was a song that he had heard when he was collecting these songs, and he adapted it to the version that we know today. During Burns' time in Dumfries, he also wrote a number of songs and poems showing his support for example, the ending of the slave trade and his support for women's rights. Along with his writings, Burns also worked as an excise supervisor, which involved a lot of horseback travel through some pretty bad weather conditions. And soon, because of this, Burns' health started to deteriorate. And Burns died at his home in Dumfries on the 21st of July in 1796 at the age of 37. He was first buried in a very nondescript grave in St. Michael's Churchyard in Dumfries. However, his widow Jean Armour saw Burns eventually laid to rest in a specially made mausoleum built in the same churchyard in 1817. Jean was also buried in the same mausoleum after her death in 1834. Through his surviving 12 children, Robert Burns has almost 1,000 living descendants in the world to this day. On the 21st of July 1801, on the 5th anniversary of Burns' death, the first commemorative supper was held to Burns. However, the first actual Burns supper, as we know them today, was on the 29th of January 1802. Which the attendees believed to be Burns's birthday, until they checked the records and discovered that Burns' birthday was actually the 25th of January. And since then, Burns suppers have been held traditionally on or around that date. Now, personally, I have never attended a formal supper, however, a formal Burns supper follows a particular order of events. First of all of the guests arrive to the sound of the bagpipes and you're welcomed by a speech from the host. Grace is then said in the form of Burns's Selkirk Grace. The Selkirk Grace goes, "Some hae meat and canna eat it, and some wad eat that want it. But we hae meat and we can eat, and say the Lord be thankit." After the grace, soup is then served, followed by the main course of haggis, neeps and tatties. That's turnips and potatoes for the laymans. The haggis is welcomed again by the sound of the bagpipes and then is addressed by the host. The poem, "Addressed to the Haggis," is then read. This part can sometimes be the whole highlight of the meal if some theatrics are thrown in, especially involving knives. Before the main is eaten, a toast of single malt whisky is made once again to the haggis. After the main meal, a dessert may be offered, with even more whisky on show, especially if a traditional Scottish crannachan is offered. More toasts and speeches follow, including the "Address to the Lassies," which is a thanks to the women, with a female guest then offering a "Reply to the Laddies." after which songs and poems by Burns are performed until the closing ceremony, where everyone joins hands and sings Auld Lang Syne at the end of the evening. In 2009, Robbie Burns narrowly won a poll to be named the greatest Scot of all time. Many statues and busts of Burns appear all over Scotland and, of course, all over the New World as well. So once again, folks, that's the end of another podcast. I want to thank everyone for, again, your patience. Wasn't feeling too great at the weekend there when I was planning on recording a new episode. So this episode is for those of you who have requested Robbie Burns. Again, pretty much from day one, I've always had a number of requests. It's been this podcast has probably taken me the longest to do in terms of the research and things, because I ended up on a YouTube down a YouTube rabbit hole, we shall say, of Burns songs, and then I got onto the Corries, and then onto everyone else after that. I think I ended up listening to The Prodigy at some point as well. So, I like to make sure that my research is done and that I get into the right frame of mind before I start going into these particular subjects. So, again, that's for all of you who have requested the story of Robbie Burns. Interestingly, I did mention that Robbie Burns' birthday is the 25th of January. My birthday is actually the 24th of January, and my girlfriend's birthday is the 26th of January. So we have this sort of little tradition where one of my favourite meals is essentially a Burns supper with the haggis, neeps and tatties. So on the 24th of January, I like to have my haggis, neeps and tatties. Then, of course, on the 25th of January, we have haggis, neeps and tatties. And then you know, after that, we have my girlfriend's birthday, on which we usually have a Chinese or something. So once again, folks, I just want to say thank you very much for listening. If you haven't already, head over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/ScotHistoryPod. Like the page there, and if you wouldn't mind clicking on the share button so that you can share it with your friends. If you're on Twitter, you can get me on @ScotHistoryPod. Also on Instagram, which is instagram.com/ScotHistoryPod. You can send me a direct mail through email through scothistorypod@gmail.com as well. I'm currently in the process of looking into getting a website set up. If anyone out there in particular is good with images and things like that, I would like to hear from you. That would be fantastic. Thank you again to everybody who's contacted me over the last week, and again, even those of you who sent well wishes my way at the weekend when I wasn't feeling too good. That's it's so very, very kind of you, and I can't believe that I get such a great response from doing this podcast. So I'm absolutely overwhelmed every single week. If you want to support the podcast in any way, you can do so. That's via the Patreon page. That's Patreon, patreon.com/ScotHistoryPod. Another thing that I should mention as well, I've been listening a lot to a couple of other podcasts, one in particular that I gave a shout out to before. However, I think I got the actual name of the podcast wrong. It's the Thistle Do Nicely podcast. So Thistle, T-H-I-S-T-L-E, as in the weed or the flower. So Thistle Do Nicely, done by some Scots who live now in New York City. Their episodes are fun, they're funny, and I really enjoy it. So they gave me a shout out on their latest episode, which was about haggis, believe it or not. So I do recommend that you head across there, and some interesting things might be happening in the future there. Aside from that, folks, once again, I'm hoping to be back again at the weekend, so keep your eyes on your favourite podcast app, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, YouTube. Again, you know, you can subscribe on YouTube Just search for the Scottish History Podcast. You'll be able to find me no problem at all. And if I just check quickly my wee stats here as well, for those of you on Apple Podcasts, if you wouldn't mind giving the podcast a little rate as well, you know, rate it honestly as well. You know, if you think it's one star, two star, whatever. Obviously, I do prefer four or five is always good. But at the moment, we're currently sitting at number 140 on the Apple Podcasts Education Charts, which I think is just, again, baffling that I'm anywhere near that. And also, last week we were sitting at number 33 in the education charts in New Zealand. Again, just blown away by all of this. But as per usual, it's very early in the morning to me, or to the clock, but to me it's very late at night, it's 6:30 in the morning. So I'm just rambling on now. So once again, folks, thank you very much for listening. Like, share and subscribe the podcast every which way that you can. Send me a message, talk to me, tell me about anything that you would like to hear about in the future. And I will speak to you again, hopefully, fingers crossed, this coming weekend. Thank you very much. Cheery.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.